content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Do You Know What Day Tomorrow Is? And Glamour Magazine, the February issue. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. Well, welcome back. Yay. We're heading towards the very end of February. Can you believe it? That's unbelievable to me. Anyway, we've got a lot of things to cover today, and we're going to start off with February 20th, 1962. John Glenn was born. John Glenn made history on this date by orbiting the Earth. Glenn's service as a combat pilot in World War II and the Korean War, and his breaking of the sound barrier in a 3-hour, 22-minute flight from New York to Los Angeles, helped prepare him for his 3-orbit flight around the Earth. He became the first astronaut to accomplish this feat aboard Friendship 7. And after leaving the space program, Glenn entered politics and was actually elected senator from Ohio in 1974. On February 22nd, today, in 1732, George Washington was born, our first president. He was born in Pope's Creek, Virginia. He was a planter and a soldier. He died December 14, 1799 in Mount Vernon, Virginia. He was a soldier in the French and Indian War. He served as commander of the American Army without pay throughout the Revolutionary War against Britain. And only he and James Monroe ran for the presidency unopposed. These are your Trivial Pursuit question answers. During his term, or terms, I should say, he lived in New York, but supervised the building of the President's Mansion in the District of Columbia, which later presidents used. The Bill of Rights became law, and the start of the Departments of State and Treasury and War were all under his time in office. February 23rd, tomorrow, 1685, is the birth date of George Frederick Handel. Considered one of the greatest musicians of all time, George Frederick Handel had a strange career. He was trained in Germany, in German music, became a master of Italian opera, and wound up as an Englishman and one of the most important English composers. Handel was a child prodigy born in Halle, and that's H-A-L-L-E, Germany. He started learning music at the age of 7. When he was 12, he performed in Berlin at court, making such an impression that the prince offered to send him to Italy to study music. His father refused to let him go, wanting him to pursue a career in law. Later, Handel became a church organist. At 20, his first opera, Elmira, was produced in Hamburg. He then went to Italy, where he achieved fame as a composer and performer, then on to further success in England. In 1741, he turned from opera to writing oratorios, which are religious operas, usually based on Bible stories. His first and most successful oratorio, The Messiah, and that is performed at Christmas and Easter in churches and concert halls throughout the world. Perhaps you also have heard the very familiar Alleluia chorus from this work. February 26, 1919, Congress established the Grand Canyon in Arizona as a national park. The park contains 1,052 square miles, parts of which are 1 mile deep and 18 miles wide. And finally, February 27, 1807, is the birth date of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. One of his poems state, "Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere, on the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. Thank you, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Paul Revere's Ride is just one of the many popular poems composed by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. This is the first stanza of the verse. Other popular poems by Longfellow include The Song of Hiawatha, Evangeline, The Courtship of Miles Standish, and The Village Blacksmith. Much of his poetry is written in narrative form and recreates colorful events and figures that shaped American history. A New Englander, the poet taught at Harvard University for almost 20 years. His death in 1882 was mourned throughout America and England. He became the first American poet to achieve a memorial in the Poets' Corner in London's Westminster Abbey. So there you have it. And I will say, I'm going to leave this for next time. It'll be something of a surprise to you. Okay, well, we're going to come right on to an article here from the February Glamour magazine, and it's entitled, Hear Me Roar. 1 year ago, the Women's March became the largest protest in history. Ashley Judd looks back on how her speech galvanized the crowd and helped her find strength for what came next. The night before I spoke at the Women's March, I chose to sleep on the floor of a house I'd rented with friends in Washington. I'm a backcountry backpacker at heart, and I knew I needed to simulate being in my church, the Cathedral of the Woods. There was a sense that something sacred was building from the moment we arrived. The next morning, right before we left for the march, I asked to be alone. In a bedroom with hardwood floors, where I thought the acoustics would help me practice the projection I would need, I boomed out the poem I was planning to read, I Am a Nasty Woman by Nina Donovan. It electrified the entire house for all of us. We were crying, and we hadn't even left yet. That was the first whisper of the roar. Backstage at the march, standing in line for the porta potties, I bumped into Callie Corey, my director from Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood. I recited some of the poem for her, and she began to weep, too. At one point, I hopped on stage to look out over the vast crowd, staring out at that gorgeous sea of pink. I pulled a technician aside and asked him if I could do the poem for him. He cried and said, "Thank you." I knew the poem would be unifying from the moment I'd heard Nina, a 19-year-old from Tennessee, recite it at a performance by youth poet laureates a month earlier. Her words seared into my brain that night. She slayed me. I bawled my way through Nina's time on stage as she said, "I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny." I hadn't been invited to speak, yet I knew I was going to bring this poem to the march. I knew Nasty Woman belonged to everyone. When I stood in front of thousands of people in Washington, D.C., there was a collective gasp at the first words, "I am a nasty woman." And then the roar went totally quiet. The more I let loose Nina's poem, the quieter it got. In that silence, I could feel the parts of the poem that resonated in very specific ways. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And then later, I am not as nasty as electroconversion therapy, the new gas chambers shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I heard grief in that silence. Then it really started. A 360-degree rumble from way, way back in the crowd. I knew I had only a few minutes to speak. But I had to pause now and then because of the roar. And at the point in the poem that talks about blood stains and tampons and pads being taxed, while Rogaine and Viagra are not, the crowd went nuts. They couldn't believe that finally, in this huge public space, on all the television channels from C-SPAN to Fox, we could talk about menstruation. Of course I was wearing white, because that's the color of the suffrage movement. And I did that thing we do when we turn around to see if we've seeped through our clothes. It was amazing. The roar was a rumble, a wave, a crescendo, an aria. There was a visual element to it as well. I could see the crowd react physically, just as I could feel myself throwing my body into the performance. The roar was personal, political, and spiritual. It was special. After the march, I would take a beating for my rendering of Nina's poem. I would be called mentally ill on Twitter. But it was worth it. Far more of us, I know from experience, believe in equality, social justice, collaboration, and peace. I heard this with my own ears. I saw it with my own eyes from that stage. From the moment I first heard Nina's poem that night in Tennessee, I started to cry. The shattering grief I'd experienced after the election came flooding back up. Listening to this powerful young woman was both devastating and cathartic. She was so lucidly naming what was going on, and her youth gave me such fierce hope. The roar was my signal that the poem had felt that way for others, too. A very young woman came up to me at that airline counter after the march and said, "Nasty woman changed my life. It changed mine, too. I cherish my memory of the roar." In the years since, and especially now as we find ourselves in the midst of a reckoning about the treatment of women, I've felt an incredible deepening in my sense of belonging and in my safety and security in society. I feel more deeply known in my soul. I've shared my most intimate self with incredible numbers of people, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually, and it feels extraordinary. Even as girls and women remain at risk for sexual and gender violence, it's clear that our society is changing at a breathless pace. This phenomenon is very dear to me, and I feel exponentially empowered by it. Let the world hear us all. Together We Rise, the Women's March, behind the scenes at the protest heard around the world. Ashley Judd is an actress, currently in Epix's thriller, Berlin Station. She is an activist and UN Goodwill Ambassador. This essay is adapted from Together We Rise, a new book by the Women's March organizers and Condé Nast, publisher of Glamour. Well, we're going to continue with another Glamour essay. It's called The Power of Radical Empathy. Faced with anti-Muslim bigotry, model Halima Aden could have gotten angry. She found a better way forward. When I was in high school in Minnesota, one of my best friends said we couldn't be friends anymore because her mother feared I'd recruit her into ISIS. I have as much to do with ISIS as any of you do, but I was born in a refugee camp in Kenya before my family moved to Minnesota when I was 6, and I wear the headscarf. At first, I was like, you're kidding, right? It made me want to cut myself off from everybody who doesn't share my race and culture. But my mother told me, sometimes people won't understand you. You have to show them who you are, and you will have to understand their stories, too. To understand someone else's story is empathy. And my mother taught me living a rich life requires radical empathy. I can practice radical empathy because the empathy I've received has overwhelmed the bigotry. From aid workers at the refugee camp, to teachers who helped me, to pageant officials who let me compete for Miss Minnesota USA wearing my hijab and burkini, and launch a modeling career. When you swap anger for empathy, you can begin to understand my friend's mom. She's seeing Muslims portrayed as terrorists on the news. Meanwhile, Muslims haven't found much of a voice in this country. I see the path forward. Show them who I am. Seek out people different from you. You might get hurt, but do it anyway. And if that girl and her mom are watching now, I hope they'll understand. The only radical thing about me is my empathy. Halima Aden gave this speech at Glamour's Women of the Year Summit. Watch all the inspiring talks at glamour.com/WOTY. All right. Well, we're going to go on to some, just kind of some fun beauty things, okay? How to smell amazing. All right. How to smell amazing without spritzing perfume. These new ways to wear scent are a revelation by Erin Remmel. All right, so here is Tatley Perennial Set, the scented tats. And the Musky Hair Mist by Sarah Jessica Parker, Stash Sexy Scented Hair Mist. And the Floral Shine Spray, Goldwell Carasilk Repower Beautifying Hair Perfume. The Fragrant Blush by Karen, C-A-R-O-N, Fard Ajoux, J-O-U-E-S, Rose Poudre, Powder. And what else is there? Oh boy, oh boy, there's a Brush-On Perfume Powder, Byredo Gypsy Water Kabuki Perfume. The Infused Earrings by Killian, Scented Jewelry Tassel Earrings. All right, and there is the Room Diffuser Rocks, Fornacetti. Okay, and then there is, what is this? The Decadent Dry Shampoo, Elizabeth and James Nirvana Rose Dry Shampoo. And finally, the Chic Car Scent Diptyque Car Diffuser, and that's DiptyQue. All right, so how to smell amazing without spritzing perfume. Okay, what else is there? So that's how Bella gets her glow. Yeah, she has those Hadid jeans, but the model and face of Bulgari's new fragrance also knows a thing or two about great skin. My signature look. I do my own makeup when I'm not working. I'm all about taupey eyeshadow, a golden liner, a dewy complexion with just a little shimmer. It makes everything glow better. And that's what it's called. So that's how Bella gets her glow. Glow better. And I use an eyelash curler. With or without mascara, it's a must. My mom's beauty advice, my mom, TV star and model Yolanda Hadid, didn't teach me a lot about makeup growing up because I started wearing it around the time she had gotten sick with chronic Lyme disease. But she did always tell me, skin before makeup. So now I try to stay consistent with my routine, especially when traveling. I don't leave home without serums or oils. My dewy skin secret? I used to be able to wash my face at night and do anything after. But now if I go to sleep without moisturizing, my face feels dry and tight. I love masks. I do them all the time. I'm obsessed with black peel-off masks. And I use a sheet mask on mornings when I have an early event. So reviving. My best feature? If we're talking overall, then my personality. I love being funny and making other people happy. But if we're talking my face, then my lips. They're easy to enhance with liner. My 90s aesthetic? I throw something 90s into my look every day. I'm obsessed with scrunchies and those black stretchy headbands. I have 100 of them, from putting my hair back to washing my face. My hairstylist, Jen Atkin, taught me that they're really cute again. My perfume, MO? Wearing captivating fragrances like Goldia. Definitely makes me feel sexier. I dab it on one wrist, dab it on the other, and then rub them together. My greatest scent memory? I'll always remember the way my mom smelled growing up, like cardamom. It's a beautiful smell. It reminds me of home and makes me feel the way I am around my mom. Very grounded. All right, I think we have time for just a little bit more. Reclaiming my bath time. Behold the tub soak that is good for your skin by Simone Kitchens. We were all probably bath people at one point. But then life takes over and who has the time anymore? In the shower I can detangle, exfoliate, and be on my way 7 minutes later. I get it. A soak is relaxing, but it also dries out your skin, right? Not always. I learned on a recent trip to the Terme di Stigliano thermal baths outside of Rome, known for their mineral-rich, good-for-your-skin water. There, some of the locals floated in outdoor pools while others slathered themselves in greenish mud. What's in the water? No chlorine here. Mostly minerals such as sulfur, which studies have shown to be calming and skin-soothing. Those with arthritis, psoriasis, and other ailments have found relief in healing mineral waters worldwide. I arrived feeling groggy, too much pasta and wine 4 days into the trip. But when I left, energized, more alert, even centered, and with baby soft skin. Now that I'm back home in NYC, this is how I'm improvising. Borghese Roma. To add moisture back in. Fango means mud in Italian, and Borghese Fango Delicato, mud mask for $38 at borghese.com, mimics the stuff from the bottom of natural hot springs, which I scooped up during my visit. This mask with aloe vera and hyaluronic acid plumps and revitalizes skin. Do like the locals and lay it on your face and chest. Soak in the tub, then rinse just before you get out. To brighten a dull complexion, mineral-rich water from Hungary acts as a hydrating base in Peter Thomas Roth Hungarian Thermal Water Mineral-Rich Atomic Heat Mask, $58, Sephora.com. I pat it on to dry patches and breakouts, then hop into the bath to help open pores and allow skin to better absorb the nourishing shea and rosehip seed. To calm the mind, a scoop of the Pacific sea salts, which are spiked with detoxifying Cambrian blue clay in Herbivore Detox Blue Clay and Eucalyptus Soaking Salts, $18, herbivorebotanicals.com, helps me take the day off, while lavender and eucalyptus essential oils make me fall asleep faster. And finally, to ease achy muscles, any bath can help you recover after a long workout. A recent Scandinavian study shows that hot soaks are better than ice, but the high temp can lead to parched skin. A few caps of Molten Brown Silver Birch Thermal Bath Soak, $30, moltenbrown.com, which has softening mineral salts, keeps everything hydrated. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Aniko Gal, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Make it a great week, and we'll see you next week on the 1st of March.